Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Courtney Cronin finishing out the week here with you as OTAs is come and gone. We've got mini camp on the way, and the offensive line, dare I say, Courtney, is in a place that we haven't been in quite a long time. Stable.
It's a weird spot to be in.
We got to talk about this offensive line situation. Feels like we got four positions fully locked up, and that left tackle position could be one to really keep an eye on. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star view. Y'all know what to do. Today's episode is brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes, or they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas-style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field. Exit 6 right off of I-80-94. Courtney, how are you?
I'm good. I'm getting over a little bit of a spring cold right now, which is a weird thing to have when the weather is as bad as it's been. But hopefully next week for minicamp, it's going to be hot. Like, the Bears have a trend for hosting minicamp at the hottest times of June. Because I remember my first year on the beat, it was like 102, the real field temperature. And then last year was warm. So, I mean, it shows you summer's coming. But, like, we're at a place right now covering the team where you've gotten to be around Ben Johnson long enough to know what the tenor of practices are going to be like, what this foreshadows for training camp, and getting to see a team that's had really good attendance. That's one of my bigger takeaways from OTAs. Yeah. And kind of what that foreshadows for mini camp. I know that there's a lot of buzz around the league right now about who's not going to be showing up for mandatory camp next week. Trey Hendrickson, obviously, with the Bengals and his contract status being one of those things. The Bears don't have that. And it's not like in previous years they've had anything that's been super tenuous. Obviously, Jalen Johnson a couple of years ago, like, you know, he got his deal last offseason, but the season before, you know, there were questions about, well, is he going to be somebody who shows up? Is he going to be trying to push for a new deal, the whole thing? Yeah. I think the Bears are in a really good spot given how they handled business in the offseason the last like 6-7 weeks, to where they've got all their contracts done. And now it should be, barring the guys who are rehabbing from injury, a pretty well-attended minicamp next week.
Yeah, it feels like the Chicago Bears right now are the team is buying into the fact that, hey, we need to be here. I thought we heard that from Montez Sweat, where it was like, listen, I didn't meet my goals last season, and it's very important for me to be here this early on so that I can hit the ground running by the time the season started. It feels like the team is really bought in on getting the most that they can out of Ben Johnson, getting the most that they can out of this early teaching situation that you get with OTAs right now.
Yeah, I think most players that have verbalized that are veterans who understand that they could be anywhere but here. If they wanted to, they could be on vacation, they could be training on their own, but they understand this is a brand new staff. And, you know, there is something to be said about, even if you know, if you have a ton of football knowledge and you've been playing the game for a long time, this is where you make your relationships. This is where you get to forge those bonds with the guys that you're in the room with. So then months later, you already know them and you can really dial into the football stuff. So I think hearing that from veteran players who had the opportunity to not show up if they didn't want to, guys who have already been paid, as to why they're here, shows you that Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen, they've got the buy-in from the players now that they need. And it's not saying that the last staff didn't have that, but knowing just what's at stake here of how they don't want to end up like they did last year, where it felt like everybody was saying the right things early on in May and June, and come to find out, there were a lot of steps being skipped. Certainly does not feel like that's the case this time around.
Yeah, hopefully it actually plays out into the season. Remember, everybody talks good before the season starts. Everybody's excited. Everybody, yeah, it's going to be great. I love Jalen Johnson's response. I've done these press conferences too many times before. Mm-hmm. Let's see how it plays out when the season gets here. I think that is the perfect mindset for a lot of the guys like Jalen, like Cole, who have been here for multiple regimes of this same thing of, hey, we're ready to go. We're excited. Oh, God, we're not very good. Like, this is not what we thought this was going to be in preseason. So I'm glad to see that the team, at least coming into this with the right mindset. And I think that comes from the coaching staff, Courtney, a coaching staff that has done something that we have not seen a Chicago Bears coaching staff do in a long time. We are two OTA practices in that me and you have been allowed to be at. We are six, I believe, in total that the Bears have had to this point. And we have what feels like an offensive line that is semi-locked up. We heard Ben Johnson talk about the right tackle position. When he talked about Darnell Wright, that was probably the one question that was going to come up this offseason. Was there a possibility to move him from that right side to the left side if you didn't feel comfortable at left tackle? What we heard Ben Johnson say was they really like Darnell Wright on that right side, and there's a possibility of him moving. Mm-hmm. But we really like Darnell Wright on that right side, which felt like Darnell's going to be locked in on the right.
Yeah, and I know that they left the door open for it. Ryan Poles presented that idea that he could play left or right, and they would tinker with a bunch of combinations this offseason. But he also said that he wants the offensive line to more or less be set by the time training camp rolls around, so they'll be able to not be moving guys from side to side. They really get to gel and find that continuity. So I would imagine what you see next week is probably what you're going to see rolled out for the start of training camp at the end of July, because the vets are excused after June 5th. It's the rookies who will be here for that final OTA. But if you're taking the general manager at face value, what he said was that he wants this thing to pretty much be set going into training camp. And that's the right approach to take when you know you have experience you can rely on up front. And you're not second guessing, is this guy good enough to be our starter? Might he be better on this side? It's very obvious. Darnell Wright at right tackle, the position he's played for the last 2 years, the position he was drafted to play for the Chicago Bears, 10th overall in 2023, is where he belongs. And to not have to create another opening by trying to solve one opening is the right approach here. That it feels like, as of right now, the Bears are sticking with that.
Yeah, and I think that's the part where we've seen that go the wrong direction for the Bears. You want those guys with the versatility, but the Bears loved utilizing that versatility, right? And I think there were times where it was like, it makes sense for you to do this. There were other times where it seemed like you needed to do it, I think, to last season, where it was like, well, Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright were dominant on one side. Why not put that together? They didn't want to do that. We saw the offensive line was last season. What I love about this, though, is early on, the question mark on one of your premier players doesn't seem to be a real question mark. You mentioned this. They want to have this set by training camp. We've seen what Darnell Wright can do on that right side. And I think having somebody next to him who's also locked in Jonah Jackson, is going to take his game to another level this season, just because of the fact that I don't have to question already who's standing next to me. We had questions on Nate Davis all the way into week four of last season. Who's going to be next to Darnell Wright? Darnell Wright knows who's going to be next to him, knows he can get that work in, knows that they can work together. The four being set right now, I think, is going to take Darnell's game to the next
level. Yeah, I mean, it's such a simple thing to point out, but the continuity factor is huge because, you know, last year, and it really wasn't even for health reasons, but like the uncertainty you had whether you could rely on the right guard, as with Nate Davis's situation, was just such an unfair thing to put on the center and on your right tackle. And yeah, like, you know, he was in and out during camp. Like, that's just never good for anybody. And injuries do happen. Jonah Jackson got injured early on last season. And you know, that was obviously a reason why his 2024 season was way short of expectation. But it's good that you can foreshadow what it looks like now to let the guys know, these are the people that, you know, communication wise, if you don't know the call or if there's some sort of issue, like I've seen this. I mean, obviously Drew Dahlman's a veteran center. He'll be fine. But like, I've seen it before where you have a young center. I've covered rookie centers before, first year centers, where sometimes it's a left guard or a right guard calling out the play, somebody who might have either played the position, have more experience than you. Like, this is where, not saying that that's the case here, but I'm like using that as an example. This is where you get those sort of things ironed out. So it's good to be able to hear the voices, know which voices to listen for, know who your backup voices are going to be in those situations too. Because how many times do you see the pre-snap penalties because somebody didn't know what the call was, or they failed to call a timeout and get a delay of game, like it because of something that was going on up front? Now, that's obviously not always on the offensive line, but like, this is where you get a chance to make sure that those things don't happen. And even last year, think back to, you know, mini camp and OTAs when Matt Pryor was moving around spot to spot, like they were not sure about Tevin Jenkins, where he slated best, what your center situation was going to look like. You just don't, it's a simple concept. You don't want moving pieces. So don't create two moving pieces when there's already one opening, which is what they've done right now with the left tackle spot. And I think it's the right play to continue to tinker there to get Karan Amagaji and Ozzie Trapillo the reps that they need. And when Braxton Jones comes back, then it becomes a competition. But all signs and everything that you're reading between the lines point to that's Braxton Jones's job to lose, because he has 3 years starting experience. Like, that's more than Karan. That's more than a rookie. And frankly, health aside, because we need to figure out what he looks like with his ankle injury and coming off of that, he is your best option. It's a no-brainer. The guy who's played more at that position, had a career year last year, might not be the best left tackle in the NFL, but he's, you know, ESPN had him fourth in run block win rate from a year ago. PFF had him 17th out of 140 tackles in his pass blocking grade. Like, his experience trumps what the other two don't have just yet. So that competition, I think the Bears are going to use to find your swing tackle. And that's an important spot. Obviously, we know with injuries and how different lineups sometimes come to fruition along the offensive line. But that's, you know, heading towards training camp, that's what that foreshadows. But again, we don't know when Braxton's coming back. So you might see a little bit more of that rotation for what Ben Johnson talked about the other day, playing into June and July and August.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Braxton right now is ahead. I think that all depends, though, on how well these guys play early on. I think when Braxton comes back, he probably still will be ahead. But again, I think we saw Ozzie out there. He got the first snaps with the first team. No pads on. There's nothing to really take away from it, right? You can't sit here and be like, he looked amazing. Because on the other side, the guy we just praised in Darnell Wright was getting killed by Dominique Robinson. And I'm not worried about Darnell Wright in the season getting killed by Dominique Robinson or with pads on, right?
I think the pre-snap stuff, though, like, not to interrupt you, but like, he's not jumping off sides. Like, you know, there's not, if that's what I think the biggest takeaway can be from when they're not in pads, the procedural stuff before the ball's snapped. Are they out of position? Does he not know what the call is, whether it's a runner pass? Like, you know, and I'm only pointing out the left tackle spot because that's the one that's open. It's the one that has the least experience currently right now among the two options. And you didn't see any of that on Wednesday session of OTA. So I thought that was a good sign for a rookie coming in who, well, he didn't have like any penalties in college. Like, it's crazy. No. The guy was the least penalized offensive lineman of any of them drafted this year. And that clearly comes from the meeting room, that comes from his ability to pick up whatever they're teaching him from, you know, scheme wise, and also his ability to execute it and not, like, you know, not blink. More or less.
I'll ask you this, Courtney. Like, I think that my takeaway from Wednesday looking at Ozzie, I looked at the pre-snap stuff and I was like, he looks like he understands the play. I think they're teaching them well, which is very exciting for me from a coaching standpoint. But it didn't look like Ozzie was new to playing left tackle. I know he played it his first year at BC, but he wasn't very good at it his first year at BC, which kind of is why they ended up moving him to the right side. It looked like Ozzie Trapillo has been playing left tackle his entire career. He was comfortable with it. He was good in his stance. He was not false starting. He was not jumping off sides. It looked like if you had brought in a rookie left tackle to come in and win the position, which is a stark contrast for what we saw from Karan Amagaji, who did play left tackle in college, who was brought here to be a left tackle, and who in his first practice, first opportunity with the first team reps, it just looked very, he was slow off of the ball. He was late getting up a couple of times. He false started, I think, one time in that first try. So, like, it was a night and day difference.
Yeah, and I think it's where they are in the install process, too. Like, they were a week into it when Ozzie Trapillo got his reps at left tackle, and they were 2 days into it when Karan was out there.
Yes.
So I think that's part of it. They have had more time to learn it, more classroom time, and more time to be on the field when we're not there. So I would anticipate that somebody drafted in the second round as high as Ozzie Trapillo was, being somebody who looks like he knows what he's doing out there. And it's not to say that Karan didn't, but he definitely looked a little bit more, I got lost. I don't know if that's the right word. It was a second day install. There were a lot of guys out of position, so much so that Ben Johnson, we heard him pretty loud and clear that first day we were out there.
Now we find him.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, what we'll see in minicamp will be a better determination of who's further along between those two. Like, the pre-snap stuff, whatever happens, if there's any calls on the offensive line, is it the left tackle spot that's slowing everybody down? Is there, you know, if they go one day on, one day off, where they're each getting reps with the first team, how do the guys look with the second team? Is there somebody that you can tell is like standing out so much more than the other guys? And also, I think you just don't want to notice the left tackle spot. Like, that's probably your best indication of how well it's going. If that's not something where you're writing down notes saying, okay, false start, pre-snap, if there's refs out there, obviously, I don't remember, they're not calling holding that much right now because, again, they're not in pads. But if you don't notice the left tackle position, if it's not something you come away with next week saying, boy, there was a lot of focus there, then that probably means that both of them did pretty well in their split reps that we anticipate them getting. But I thought Ozzie held his own. I thought that was really impressive for somebody who, you know, was drafted as high as he was, I think 56 overall. Like to see where he, you know, he kind of seamlessly went in there. I thought that was a really good sign.
No, it was a sign to me that this will actually be a competition. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you brought up the penalties, right? That was the one thing for Braxton outside of, listen, I get the PFF pass block grade. I've told y'all, I think he's got a cousin up there. I don't know what's going on, but I watched him get sacked with my quarterback last year. I'm not hyping up the pass blocking. The one thing I will give him credit for, though, where I do think he does thrive is in the run block game, especially when you're trying to get some things going. I think Braxton will improve with Joe Tooney standing next to him, especially in that run blocking game, and he can be a lead blocker coming off of that left side. But where Braxton did stand out last season way too often was the penalties. He ranked 100 out of 140 tackles last season, and penalties had 7 on the season, allowed 5 sacks along with that. To me, whoever is going to be the more disciplined one, I think, is probably the person who ends up being the starting left tackle by the time the season starts. And the one thing we can say, and I get the offense has been up and down, up and down, up and down the last 3 years. I'm all in, and I understand that. Braxton Jones has always been somebody who has been a penalty candidate on the field on game day.
Yeah, and that's something he's going to have to prove that he's not a liability with this year. Like, he has more experience than both of them combined. Yeah. And, you know, it was a career year for him. If you think about it, like, it was his best showing of his 3 years in Chicago. And he's been consistent. He started every game that he's appeared in at left tackle, but the penalties have to be addressed. And you would, that's the whole continuity part, like making sure that this unit together is able to figure out, like, how do we operate as one, as five as one? I know it's as cliche as that sounds. That's how you cut down on some of those things. Lack of communication errors will be a good thing if they're able to do that. And that's why Braxton, whenever he gets back, he's going to have to get himself up to speed quickly, because these other four have been together since, you know, I mean, they've been together all off season. He's been around. It's just a matter of, like, on the field together, they will have had about a 6 week or, you know, 4 week, head start like then over him. So I would like to believe that his experience in playing, like, he's not played alongside Joe Tooney, Drew Dahlman, obviously, like, yeah, the only guy he's been on this line with is Darnell Wright. I could just list it off, but I already knew the answer. Like, he's going to have to understand what the center's calling and how the center's cadence is with the quarterback. But there's a lot of intricacies and nuanced things that he's going to have to pick up on quickly if he wants to, like, show, okay, I may have been injured, I may be coming off my ankle surgery, but I'm still your best option to play at left tackle this year.
Let me ask you this. Is there a situation where Ozzie and or Karan, they hit the ground running and all of a sudden they're in sync with Joe Tooney, they're in sync with Drew Dahlman, like the offensive line looks like a cohesive unit, and Braxton is just the casualty of, look, it looks good, we're not going to mess with it, we appreciate you coming back and getting back from injury, but right now you're the backup because we're not going to mess with this dynamic and the team looks good with these five out there?
I think there's always that possibility, especially coming off injury. Like, that's just naturally something that you have to factor in. Like, how do you look out there? Because it's an ankle injury. Like, you know, how do you look in your stance? What does your footwork look like? Are you able to hold your own against pass rushers when, you know, when you're backpedaling in your stance? Is there a power issue? All of those things are valid, but I go back to, you know, the day that the assistant coaches were made available in April before the draft. And the answer that we came away with is that starting today, if the season started in April, Braxton Jones would have been their starting left tackle. Now, obviously, that was before they drafted Ozzie Trapillo. That was long before they got on the field. But it makes sense based on what he's already brought to the table and their institutional knowledge of him as a left tackle. But I think, you know, the percentage chance I'd give for that to happen, maybe 40, because they've all said, like, hey, we expect him to come back healthy. If they were hedging, I think that you'd have probably a little bit more doubt about whether he'd be able to win his job back or just, like, straight up win his job. But I really think that given, you know, how difficult it is to go up against these edge rushers, the transition from college to the NFL in year one, what Braxton had to do when they weren't set up to win 3 years ago, any experience with that versus no experience is going to weigh more heavily on the coaching staff, especially when, you know, every team in the NFC North alone has a dominant player off the edge that's probably going to be lined up against your left tackle. So do you want somebody who already has the experience of how to handle that versus a younger player you might not trust as much, a younger player who just doesn't have the footing yet? That's what ultimately I think will weigh out. But it's all health for Braxton. Like, if he's not, if he's like, just if he's favoring it, if he's not so sure, if he comes back a little gun shy, that's going to not play well into him being able to hold on to his job.
And outside of that rookie year, I mean, I think people remember that rookie year and they kind of think that's just who Braxton is and that's who he's always going to be. Braxton has been very injury prone over the last couple of seasons. I think he played 11 games in 2023. I think he only played 12 games last season. Like, when you start to look at it, right, that 17 games that first season was amazing. Yeah. We haven't seen that guy the last couple of years. He's dealt with some concussion issues. He's dealt with offensive line things, right? Sure. Gets rolled up one last season as well, and that's why he misses a couple of games. So it's not like they're things that, like, I'm concerned about this guy, but those are things that open up competition. When you talk about health, when you talk about being able to be out there and be penalty free, I think those are things that open the door to the possibility of a guy like Ozzie Trapillo or Karan Amagaji taking that spot. Here's what I'll ask you though, Courtney, when looking at this entire city, we're looking at these names and we're like, Ozzie and Braxton and Karan, are the Bears in a good place at the left tackle position? When we watched last year, I think a lot of people would look at Braxton and say, if that's the best we got, we may be in trouble.
Well, yeah, I remember Larry Borum was supposed to be your backup there, somebody that you could trust there, and it just wasn't the case. I mean, they kept him around on the roster because they had to. The depth issues, if you go back to August of last year, and Ryan Poles, the after cutdown day, saying that this was the best depth he had ever had on the offensive line, he felt very confident about it. I think that those words probably haunt a general manager when you think you have something and then you don't. And all of a sudden, we know that this is a 100% injury sport, particularly on the offensive line. It's a problem to, like, only have one true option at left tackle or any of the spots that you trust. They strategically went about this to make sure that they didn't just have Karan as the only backup option to Braxton Jones. A, if he's not ready to go right away at this time of the year, they had somebody there. But also, what happens if he gets in, if he wins the job, Braxton Jones, your left tackle, he gets injured. Wouldn't you rather have multiple options as your swing tackle, like, to make sure that you've got the right one instead of somebody you've just kind of got to ride through and get by with? That's the benefit of having Karan and having Ozzie in there now, to get the reps, to know, all right, if and when you're ready to play, do you have the experience needed so you're not just thrown into the fire and there's no fail safe for you? I think the Bears did a pretty good job making sure that they have high-end starters. That's why they spent all of free agency doing that with the offensive line and you know, having that Darnell right around. And that you also have some decent to, you know, like, good to maybe even, like, above good, whatever that is, backups, because backups obviously have flaws. Everybody has flaws in their game. Backups have flaws for a number of different reasons. Maybe it's youth. Maybe it's obviously inexperience, health, all of those things. The Bears are giving themselves, though, a better option for, you know, the type of players that they want to keep around in the event their starters aren't ready to play for whatever reason. So I think that that's, you know, that's a better spot than they were in. And you're not second guessing your depth the way that it felt like they kind of had to after September rolled around. You're like, oh my gosh, the offensive line's really banged up. What happened to all this depth? Oh, it's not there. It's not high quality enough. Like, they know they got a third round pick and a second round pick. Those guys were drafted where they were for a reason. That gives you a much better chance to fill any void that you have due to injury based on the guys that you have waiting in the wings.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of how the Bears handle all of this, who ends up being that swing tackle, who ends up being the guy who maybe is just depth there if things get into trouble. I think Karan may be depth, not only just at the tackle position, but maybe even at some guard position as well.
And that's not hopefully a spot for him. Like, honestly, you draft a guy in the third round. If depth, like, you know, if depth is all he ends up being, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, like, if being a swing tackle is what he lands at, then that's a pick that you can live with. Like, that's not a bust. That's not, oh, wait, they missed on him. Like, it's a third round pick. He's not a first round pick. He's on a second round pick. I think there is a line of, you know, there's a differentiation between the guys that are also competing for that spot. The guy who won it out of, you know, he was a fifth round pick that they were in a year they weren't set up to win. So he had a much better, not easy, but a much better chance to be able to stay there. Then now he's got real competition behind him. So we'll see how it goes. But I think if Karan ends up as depth for them, that's not a bad thing, because you are right. He can play multiple positions, and that's a good spot to be in if you're the Bears.
Dare I say, this is the first real competition Braxton has had since his rookie year.
Yeah, remember when we thought Riley Reiff was coming in to come take his spot as a rookie, and then it ends up being Braxton and Braxton only at left tackle?
Ugh, Riley Reiff. Let's not relive that. We've had some interesting people brought in here on the offensive line. I'll ask you this before we get out of here, Courtney. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Showing love. Hit the like button, subscribe to the page. As OTAs has come to an end and we've got mini camp next week, we'll be up there for 3 days of it, get to really take a look at what the Bears are doing here. What are you really going to be looking for heading into mini camp that we saw kind of in OTAs continue to build?
Number one is the injuries, because Ben Johnson did not seem to anticipate that anybody was going to miss mandatory camp that's dealing with injuries. So that's Kyler Gordon, who we have not seen at OTAs to this date because he's been dealing with a soft tissue injury, according to Ben Johnson. Same thing with TJ Edwards. It'd be good to see Luther Burden out there. And I know he's dealing with some sort of soft tissue thing. We haven't seen him since rookie minicamp. How he fits in and what, you know, they're going to be running a lot more team stuff next week. And watching what those rotations look like with the receivers when they're in 11 personnel and they have more guys out there. Where does Luther line up? Is he in the slot? Are they going to try to move him outside? Where do they think he works best? That's what I'd like to see if he can get out there. But if you're judging off what Ben Johnson said, initially it was, doesn't sound like he's going to be back for minicamp, but then he says last week, well, no, I'm not anticipating that everybody, like, we should have full attendance. So that's like probably the top thing of the injured guys who's out there. And then, you know, what the guys who aren't participating as much, Montez Sweat he wasn't doing much team stuff last week this week when we were out there. So I'm curious, like, what more is he in a ramp up period? Is he dealing with something too? You know, how much more work does he get in? So I guess that kind of falls under injury, even though we don't know if he has anything. But, you know, beyond that, then, like, Caleb and the cadence and the under center stuff that we've seen him doing, not just primarily out of shotgun, how much more comfortable does he look in those circumstances? This is what I'm looking for.
Yeah. It'll be very interesting to see. I'm excited to see it. Excited to see, be up there for more of the process. More football is never a bad thing. Any concern with the fact that none of our second round picks have signed as of yet?
No, not really. I think those are things like, the first round pick getting done. Caleb and Rome went all the way up until the eve of them reporting last year. I don't think it should be an issue. Like, sometimes these things play out because they're, you know, grappling over certain guarantees language, in the contract. But usually this is why the CBA was ratified the way it was in 2011, like with the rookie wage scale being in existence. These are slotted contracts. So anything you might be arguing about with your representation in the Bears could be over, you know, payout structure, guarantees, you know, injury guarantees, all of that stuff. But I don't anticipate that being an issue. I think that it's just, you know, a timing thing. Those will get done for training camp.
Let's hope so. Very excited to get all of our guys in here, see guys healthy, and see guys get paid. I love it. Appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. As always, hit that like button, subscribe to the page. For Courtney Cronin, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Make sure, I had a stroke there at the end. That was crazy. Make sure that y'all hit that like button and drop a bear down in the comments below. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.